This is Indie Book Publishing. Indie Book Publishing is a show about new books and the authors who wrote them. It's an opportunity for prospective readers to hear directly from the writers, to hear what inspired them to write and publish, and to hear all the inside details about their books. And now, Indie Book Publishing with your host, Steve Jorgensen.
Greetings for Steve Jorgensen and for Indie Book Publishing. This is J. Douglas Barker. This Trafford Publishing book is titled Threshing Floor, Do-It-Yourself Style, A New Approach for a New Generation from Harvest to Seed, and subtitled Christians Threshed for Service in the House of God. Our author, Dr. Walter Masocha. Thank you, sir, for joining us today.
Thank you.
Tell me where you're located. You're in the United Kingdom someplace.
I'm in the United Kingdom, yes, and I hail from Scotland, in particular, a city called Stirling. It's between Glasgow and Edinburgh.
And were you born in Scotland?
No, I was not born in Scotland. I was born in Zimbabwe.
I didn't detect a Scottish accent. That's why I was asking.
Yeah, but I'm picking it up bit by bit. My children have got a Scottish accent.
Do they? And you are pastoring a church there?
Yes, I am.
Back of the cover says, the book develops the concept of threshing floor by simple references to a typical suburban townhouse or mansion with 9 floors, each of them being a threshing floor. Tell me about this book. How did you come to write it? What is it talking about?
Well, the subject of the threshing floor is something that came to me personally. When I was praying somewhere, and the Lord appeared to me in some form, and they began to say to me, before you do much of my work, I want you to be on the threshing floor. And I was like, what is that, Lord? And then he explained to me that that's when you go prostrate before me, and I have to deal with some of the issues that are in your life. He kind of pruning you. He's one way of pruning you, so to speak, to get rid of certain things in the life of a person. Pretty much the same way, the whole idea of threshing is when you harvest grain, for you to get the grain, the actual seed is what we are interested in. But it comes from the field with the husks and all those things, as you can imagine, a crop of wheat being harvested. You know, at the time of the harvest, you know, you use a sickle or something like that, or in these days, you can use a combine harvester. But in the traditional approach, they would bring a sickle or something like that and cut in everything and bring it in with all husks and all. But at the end of the day, the farmer is only interested in the seed. So God says in his word, we are harvest. So that's where it came from, that at the end of the day, any effective evangelism, bringing people to the Lord, we come to the house of the Lord as harvest. So, but God is not interested in the harvest, he's interested in the seed. So the process of getting you from the field and getting the husks and all the chaff out of our system to end up with the seed, that's what is called threshing.
And I've seen pictures of the wheat being thrown in the air and maybe large containers underneath to shift it and move it around. Is that your concept of threshing?
Absolutely, yes.
And what is the reason that we would want to participate in a threshing as a person who is a believer or a Christian?
I believe that every human being, you know, never mind believer or not, but when it comes to believers, every one of us has got faults. And when you become a child of God, you want God to deal with you through his word. And in the process of him dealing with you through his word, he begins to deal with certain character attributes that hinder our relationship with God. That's why I feel that everybody needs the threshing floor, because the threshing process helps through the word of God to get rid of those other aspects of our lives that really kind of create a big gap between us and God. So it doesn't say that you automatically become perfect the moment you become a Christian, but the threshing floor process certainly helps to refine your relationship with God until that day we meet with Jesus Christ in the clouds.
And that refining process also works among other people that we're in contact with.
Absolutely, yes.
Pastor, this book looks a little complicated. Would the average reader be able to understand this?
I would like to, I think this is the simplest book on the threshing floor subject ever. In fact, this is the main target is, you know, as I said, every Christian out there. But I believe that this is a book that the simplest person, the ordinary human being, will be able to grasp, because it just is very basic. It uses basic things, examples that are common to everybody. Things like, you know, I say things like, you know, if you want, as a human being, everyone uses a comb to comb their hair and a toothbrush to brush their teeth. Those are common knowledge things. And I say, you know, that, and you know, everyone cleans their dishes, you know, after a meal. And I say, you know, threshing floor is similar to the process where you can, if you want to have a meal, you can have a good meal, you can have the dishes nice and clean. But what happens soon after you have used the dishes? They get dirty again. And for you to use them again tomorrow, what do? You put them in the dishwasher and wash them again. So that's basic things that everybody can understand. So I'm saying that is akin to threshing floor. That when God is going to use you in the church, you know, it's like when you have used the dishes. In the process, you collect dirt. In the process, you collect dust. And what you do with the dusty surfaces? You just clean them again.
And you've also analyzed this as a 8-floor experience. Is that your descriptive?
Nine floors. Yeah, starting from ground zero, which is the basic point of salvation. So I treat, you know, I look at it, you know, from the point of view, because I thought if I use the idea of the temple. Most people don't even know how a temple looks like. They've never been to a temple. If I try to depict the idea of the threshing floor of Arauna, which is a made reference to in the Bible, most people have never been to Israel to see that threshing floor. But I thought, you know, let me relate it to, you know, to the typical suburban situation where everybody can relate to a mansion house with 9 floors. So I look at those floors now and I'm saying, you move from floor to floor all the way up to the penthouse. And in the process, each floor is a threshing floor. And you get God to deal with you, and he deals with specific things in your life, depending on which floor you are at.
And speech therapy, what does that refer to?
Oh, my goodness. I like that one. Speech therapy refers to the way we talk to each other. You know, most people get hurt in the church by the way we simply talk to each other. Some people don't care what they say. Some people say, okay, you hate for saying, you know, I spoke my mind, then I speak my mind. That's okay. But the word of God says, you know, make sure that your word is full of grace and seasoned with salt, that you may encourage the hearers. And so I teach in the book that, you know, it is very important, not just what you say, but how you say things to other people.
Important in a church dynamic, for sure. This also would apply to regular life.
That's what I say, that this book is pretty much a hands-on daily life kind of book, not just for Christians, but I believe it's a book that will benefit everybody out there, and it helps for decent living with other people.
Celebrating the penthouse. What is that about, that chapter?
Well, that's the last floor of this big grand house. So when you get up there, you are now right. You know, if you imagine a typical suburban, you know, big house with 9 floors, and the 9th floor is the last one on the house, and it's the penthouse. And that gives you excellent panoramic views of the countryside and the city and everything else there. It's like you're celebrating victory over everything that you've overcome, from ground floor, the time of salvation, dealing with your different things, your heart, your language, your behavior, your attitude about others. By the time you get to the 9th floor, you know that God has dealt with you, and it's time to celebrate. Believe at that floor, you celebrate as an individual, and also God celebrates with you.
Have you traveled extensively in ministry?
By the grace of God, I have traveled. I'm not sure if I could call it extensively, but through his grace, I have traveled to many countries in Africa. I've been to the USA. I come there almost every year, and I go to different parts of the world as well. So, yeah, I would say I've traveled to some extent, but I don't know if that's extensively, because I'm still young in the ministry doing the work of God.
And you have taken your experiences and poured them into this book.
Absolutely, yes.
Are there any themes you believe are relevant to today's world?
Yeah, as I said, you know, there are certain things that we talk about that are very basic and yet very relevant, as I said, in relation to the subject of the threshing floor. For example, I talk about the dishwasher. You know, everybody uses the dishwasher these days. And I give such an example that, you know, if you put your dishes in the dishwasher, what are the detergents that are in the dishwasher? You've got water and the other detergents that are there. These things, you put your dishes in there, and you leave the detergents to deal with the dirt that's on the dishes. And I say the word of God is the detergents that we need to use, You know, so I use basic everyday life kind of things as an example of living a threshed life.
And if I read this book, what can I resolve in my own personal life by applying the techniques and applying the outline that you have put together?
Well, we can read a lot of things, but in my view, the critical thing in terms of our Christian behavior and attitude and character is on implementation. So I believe that since the book is so very practical in the way it looks at things, and I use very practical, modern, everyday kind of things, I believe it's a book that will change the way you speak, the way you behave, the way you act around others and to yourself.
Now, Pastor, were there any challenging parts about writing this book?
Well, I should say the most challenging part to me of writing the book was keeping the book in a reasonable size, because the moment I started writing, I started receiving inspiration after inspiration. If the readers out there, the world out there would understand this, that, you know, when it's inspiration, you continue to receive. I continue to get downloaded into my spirit from heaven. And I kept writing and writing, so I had to struggle to kind of limit it to a size that is reasonable. I think that was my main challenge.
And you still were able to put together 230 pages of inspiration and instruction.
By the grace of God, yes.
This looks like a great read, and would you say this book would work for a pastor or a pastoral study?
This book, as I said earlier on, is for every child of God out there in the world, even people who are not children of God. This book is about life in general, and people, I would recommend this book to everybody who is a Christian, colleges, universities, and Bible schools all over the world. They could benefit everyone who is a child of God, who cares about the way they live as a child of God, will definitely benefit from this book, because as I said, it's written in very simple language. It's not a theological book. The examples that are given there, the way that I've written the book through the leading of the Holy Spirit, makes the subject of the threshing floor something that now every ordinary human being can now relate to.
Thank you so much. And again, the title is Threshing Floor, From Harvest to Seed. The author, Dr. Walter Basocha. Thank you, sir, for joining us today.
God bless you, and may God bless all the readers out there. And I trust that all the readers, people out there, will be able to get this book, Threshing Floor DIY style.
Where do we get a copy of it, Pastor?
I'm sure you can get copies from my publisher, Stafford Publishing, as well as from Amazon and other online booksellers.
Do you have other books that you're working on?
Yes, I'm working on one other book that is in the process of being published right now. It should be ready, I trust, by the grace of God, within the next month or so.
Fabulous. For Indie Book Publishing and Trafford Press, this is J. Douglas Barker.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Hi everybody, this is Pete Six of Beatles and Beyond. Why don't we all come together and hear some of the tracks off the latest Beatles release on this radio station? Yes, why don't you look up the schedules on this radio station and join me and Beatles listeners everywhere to hear these latest releases from the Beatles on Beatles and Beyond with Pete Dix.
Connect with Juliana and connect with what lies beneath. Friday afternoons at 4 or 3 Central on toginet.com. Juliana is a marriage, family, and child therapist who wants people to connect. Connect with what lies beneath, those truths and answers. And through her counseling practice, she has helped others find their personal power and fulfill their dreams. And she wants to do the same for you. Here on Connect with Juliana. Through intimate discussions, intriguing subject matters, and the expertise of her guests. For more on the show and Juliana, check out her webpage. Connect with Juliana in media.com. Juliana will cover it all. Nothing is off limits. She wants to know what matters to you. Make the connection. Tune into TogiNet to connect with Juliana to find out the facts that could be hidden beneath the surface. Connect with Juliana on TogiNet to make a quality connection in your life. Friday afternoons at 4, 3 Central on TogiNet.com. Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world. Now, back to your host, Steve Jorgensen.
The title of the book, Round Eyes, an adopted child's view of love, and the author of this great children's book, Ginger Sanders. And Ginger joins us now on Indie Book Publishing, this interview brought to you by Crossbooks. Hello, Ginger.
Good morning, Steve. Good to be with you this morning.
Well, great to have you with us. Round Eyes, an adopted child's view of love, you say, is a book about a little boy from another country realizing he is loved even though he looks different. Of course, great event when you got that little guy from South Korea. Must have been, wow, I can't even imagine the emotions, because you had prayed to God for so long to have a child.
That is true. And my husband and I found out we couldn't have children, and we did pray for God to give us some direction, and maybe it wasn't meant for us to have children, but the story of how he came into our lives and we knelt at our bed, all of this is unfolded in the book. And actually, it even goes on and tells how the mommy and daddy prayed, and that the mother in South Korea also prayed. And she just says, God, can you find a family to raise my son? And God answered prayers and brought this child and his new family together. And the children is based on a story of not only how the family came together, and it's sprinkled with God all throughout the book, but it also tells the story of how the little boy realized he was different. And to give you a little background of that, we were actually at church, and it was in December, and our son was about 2 years old at that time, maybe 2.5, and the Sunday school teacher told the children the story of Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus, and how God had sent his son from far, far away in heaven and sent him to earth to live with Mary and Joseph. And that clicked with that little boy that was sitting in that Sunday school class. And the Sunday school teacher did not even realize it until she said, okay, we're going to pass out construction paper now. It'll have all of you draw a picture of your family. And after church, she came to me across in the parking lot, and she said, Ginger, you've got to have this. I didn't give it to him. I was afraid he would tear it up. And she handed me this piece of construction paper, and on it was a stick figure of mommy and daddy with great big round eyes, and the little person was a little boy stick figure with little slanted eyes. And she said, that's when we realized in Sunday school that that story of Mary and Joseph and God sending his son from far away to live with them, it clicked with Jamie that he looked different, but he still was loved. Because Mary and Joseph loved Jesus, and God loved Jesus, and that it doesn't matter what you look like, that it's the love that's inside that counts. And that story just blossomed in my heart, and after years passed, I had that story tucked away, and then one day this past year, God just told me to put it down on paper. My friend Tracy Applewhite Broom is a beautiful artist, and I asked her if she could help me to illustrate this book, and she does. And all through it, you can see different little things all through the book that is sprinkled out, that if you knew me and my family, you would know and you would see. The dove is sprinkled throughout the book because of God's hope and peace, and there's butterflies that I just love. We had a dog that was actually named Lady. My husband had a tractor, so there's things all through this that helps children relate to this book as the family would read it to them. And in the front of the book, you will see, and if you didn't know and didn't think about it, there is a swing, and that swing is empty. And you see that little empty tire swing sprinkled through the book, and at the end of the book, that little boy is in the sling. He feels that sling, which fills that family with the hope and love. And the family is now full because God has answered prayers. But it's just sprinkled all through the book about love and hope and how God just provided.
Well, that is quite a story. And, of course, this is just the beginning of the story. There's what Paul Harvey said, the rest of the story. Because
yeah.
That little boy was just the first because another little girl came from South Korea. Now, you know, is she in the book at all?
No, she is not in the book. I asked her, did it make her mad? And she said no, because that story applies to me and every other child, whether they're adopted internationally or not, Mom. She said, it's that they, and I don't want to use the word handicap because I don't believe any of them are handicapped. I believe every child is a special gift of God. And I believe God chooses special families for those children. But it doesn't matter what or where you come from or how you look. It's the love that's inside and that is shared in that home. And that love can only come from God when you truly know that it is not how you look that makes the difference. It's what's on inside. And it's sort of like anybody that would read this book would be touched, because knowing that God answers prayers and that those prayers are relevant today as long ago when Moses was even left in the basket. He was adopted for that short period of time.
Mm-hmm.
But it's how God weaves and just opens the door for families to love and care for his special children. We had a family who came to us, and I had put out that I had just written this book in my community, and I had a family call me, and I didn't even know, but they had adopted a little girl from China, and they said, we really would like to have this book. And I said, that is no problem. I will get it to you. And they said, you don't understand. Our little girl is not only from China, but she was put out of her home because she was an albino. And the people in her community felt like and didn't even want her in the orphanage because they felt like she was of the devil. But they said that little girl has brought joy into our lives and joy into our home. But it is not only for children who are adopted. I had written this book and not even thought about the other side of the story. But I had a lady come to me after I'd had a book reading just a couple of weeks ago. And I was reading to the children, but this lady was walking through that library, and she heard me telling the story. And afterwards, she came to me, and she was crying. And I said, I don't understand. And she said, I can't tell you my story or my past, but I want you to know that it really impressed upon my heart when the adoptive parents prayed to receive a child. She said, because I, too, prayed one time that somebody would take my child. And to know that there are people on the other side that are praying also that God will send them a child, she said, you have confirmed my feelings of long ago. And she said, I just want you to know that book has blessed me as a mother who had to give up a child.
Did you ever meet the parents of the boy from Korea and the girl from Korea that you adopted?
No. No, both of our children come from an international adoption agency that have an orphanages literally in several countries. But our son was abandoned in the streets in Seoul, Korea, and found by the garbage cans. And we adopted him. He was 6 months old when he came into the United States and weighed 13 pounds. And our little girl was abandoned. And with all my heart, I feel like it was her mother took her to the American orphanage because she was so young. They estimated she was 3 or 4 days. And I figure by the time the mother could walk from wherever she was and for whatever reason could not keep that precious little baby, she knew that if she took it to that American orphanage, that someone that could take care of it and love it and just grow it up into the person that she is today. We got our little girl. She was approximately 5 months old, and she weighed 9 pounds. They had never had anything to eat other than milk made from rice powder. So these children still need to be sponsored that are in the orphanage or in the foster homes over there. And we did adopt ours from Holt International. There are many, many wonderful adoption agencies out there. But, you know, just pray that God will bring that child to your home. And that is one thing at the end of this book. There are several pages at the end of the book, and one of the pages at the end of the book is where a child can actually draw a picture of their family, because I want that child to realize that they are loved no matter how they look or how many children are in the family. Every one of those children are special. And then there's also a page for the parents to write that child's story. So as the book goes on, it talks about my family and our story, but then you can turn it into telling that child. And some families have come to us and said, how did you tell your children that they were adopted? And that is a perfect way. A bedtime story is how we told our children. We would tell them, and God put you on an airplane and brought you way, way, way around the world. And guess what we named you? And they would jump up and down in the bed, and our little boy would say, you named me Jamie. And that is the way they knew that their story, even though they came from a faraway place, that they were in a home, that they were secured and loved.
Hmm. Beautiful. And, of course, another beautiful part of the rest of the story is that you eventually had your own biological children, which is really something.
Well, I think God does have a sense of humor, and people tell me that's not unusual, but we had children biologically 10 years after we adopted and had gotten rid of all of our high chairs and car seats and moved on. But, you know, those four children that are in our lives are so blessed, and there's no difference in any of the love. And they are very close. We are very blessed that our children love each other. And even though they live in different states, they stay in phone contact. I will be talking to one, and they'll say, yeah, I talked to him or her the other day or yesterday. And so they stay in contact with each other, and they all get together at our house and bring their children, and the cousins get to play with each other. And we have quite a party at my house, and usually when they come for a week. And so it's just wonderful to see that there's no difference, that when God loves one child, he loves them all. And God's love is equally shared across the family. And it's just such a blessing to know that God's love is, and the answered prayers from across the world, he hears and he answers. And maybe it's not in our timing, but it's in his timing. And for whatever reason, he delayed us having our biological children so those blessings could come to live at our house, and we were truly blessed.
We've been listening to Ginger Sanders, the author of her book, Round Eyes, An Adopted Child's View of Love, this great children's book, great, just beautiful illustrations, just full of life and full of hope and full of love. Ginger, tell us how to get your book.
You can get my book through Cross Books, my publisher, through their bookstore. It is online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or any bookstore. If it's not on their shelves, they can order it. Or you can go to my website, www.gendersanders.com. And also, the endorsement in the back of the book is by Susan Cox, who is the Vice President of Holt International. And she was one of the first children adopted by Harry and Bertha Holt that started that international adoption agency. And so we are hoping that anyone who is expecting a child, whether it's from across the waters or a special child that God has given you, I've had people put it on their gift registry for expectant parents, and I've had people to know that they are having friends or family that are adopting from across the waters. But it's a gift for children who are just different, that may have red freckles and mom and dad are dark-headed. But it's a book that can be shared and help children know that maybe you aren't different, but your friend next door is, and it can just help them to understand that looking different is not all bad. It's the love that's inside that counts.
Well, thank you so much, Ginger, for being with us on Indie Book Publishing.
thank you, Steve. It was a pleasure being with you today, and thank you for having me, and I hope everyone enjoys the book.
And this interview has been brought to everyone by Crossbooks.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing, and we'll be right back after these messages. Join us for Self-Aid Success Stories with Helen Wu, Wednesday nights at 10, 9 central on toginet.com. Helen Wu was born and raised in San Francisco's Chinatown, and after a very difficult upbringing, fighting depression, abuse, and addictions, she finally finds herself genuinely happy inside and out. Helen believes in taking our positive thinking and doing something positive to achieve a positive outcome. She's here to make a positive difference in your life, to be your game changer, your aha moment mentor. She's ready to help both men and women get into a better place. Helen Wu is also the author of Self-Aid Success Stories, 25 Success Stories from Successful Entrepreneurs. Inspired by Ellen DeGeneres, Helen wants the world to know that just because we find ourselves in a difficult situation doesn't mean we have to stay there. We can aid ourselves to a better life. So join us for Self-Aid Success Stories with Helen Wu, Wednesday nights at 10, 9 central on toginet.com. Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world. Now, back to your host, Steve Jorgensen.
The title of the book, Dreams with Feet, and the author is Marlene Beerworth. And Marlene joins us now on Indie Book Publishing, this interview brought to you by Westbow Press. Hello, Marlene.
Hello, Steve.
Great to have you with us. A great adventure here, great adventure fiction, but based on a lot of your experience with Siberian Huskies. Oh, there's something magic and even romantic about a dog sled. I mean, that was part of your family for quite a while, wasn't it?
It was. We were involved quite heavily in the dog sledding arena. We went to all of the winter carnivals and things in our area where they did racing, and we competed. My son mostly competed because he was strong and he was young, and he walked away with the trophies many times. So that was kind of fun. And, yes, there is something magical about a dog and a dog sled, and it's just an awesome experience.
Well, of course, we think about dog sledding, we think about the cold, we think about snow, we think about the wilderness. I mean, there's wilderness survival. So that's all in the book. That's the unique part of this as far as through the eyes of this very young teenager, Doug, and, the things that he has to face. It sounds kind of like a spinoff of dreams of maybe what you would like to have done.
Well, I'm not too sure if I would have been that adventurous, but definitely my husband would have been. And we brought up children that definitely were that adventurous. But yes, we all have dreams, don't we? And I think it's very important that we walk out our dreams, that we, put them feet to them. And that was one of the things that I really wanted to inspire in my readers, that maybe Doug is going to get his dream come true. My dream came true when I actually published this book. But everybody out there has a dream, and I really would like them just to grab hold of that dream and run with it, put feet to it.
And you come from a lot of experience because you had you were raising Siberian Huskies.
We did. We had a kennel of 10 Siberian Huskies. They're beautiful dogs with lots of energy, and then we had lots of puppies that, of course, followed along the way, and it was just wonderful. They're just very loving dogs, and they just love to be all over you and run and run and run. So they did take a lot of energy. I only had one dog that I could actually walk because the rest of them just wanted to run. This one at least would stand beside me and walk with me. So that was the only one I ever took walking. And her name was Cheyenne, and Cheyenne is in the book.
Oh, Cheyenne, what a great name for a dog, and a husky especially. Huskies are magical. They have that just all that energy. As I told you before, I owned one, so I'm kind of partial to them as well. And dogs are the dreams of most young boys, aren't they? I mean, boys love dogs.
Yes, yes, they do. And hopefully every boy has had a chance to experience a dog somewhere along his lifetime, because, I don't know, they just seem to bond, a boy and his dog, right? I mean, many right. books were written about boys and dogs, and this is another one that I hope people will enjoy.
Well, of course, we can dream a dream, but we have to run with it. Is it just that easy? If we have a dream, can we just go, you know, well, I'm just going to make that happen tomorrow?
Well, we wish it was, and some dreams are easier than others. Like, we can have very quick dreams that, you know, we can get done in a short period of time. But then there's those ones that we just, you know, it's just in us that we want this really badly. And sometimes that takes a lot of work. And the worst thing that I'm finding is that it takes you getting out of your comfort zone. I mean, life gets pretty comfortable, and we can just walk along that path if we choose to. But as soon as we step out into our dream, everything becomes new, and there's so many challenges to meet. And we have to be willing to take that risk. And some people do and some people don't. But I would like to encourage you to take the risk.
Yeah, overcome our fears. That often is a very difficult, difficult wall to face, our fears.
It is. It is for sure. And Doug, in the book, was full of fear, full of insecurities. He was a very shy person. You know, he really didn't want to get out there and share his adventure with people. But they just had to share with him, and that's what makes the story unfold.
And of course, in this story, which unfortunately happens a lot in school, there's the bully.
There is. We have two bullies. And they really make fun of Doug's dream, and which, of course, feeds his insecurities. But the wonderful thing is that one of these bullies gets put on the team that the geography teacher, he puts together a wilderness project, and Bob is put on Doug's team. And that is a major challenge. You know, he has to learn how to deal with these bullies and still let his dream unfold. And so he takes Doug along with him on his journey. And so Doug takes Bob along with him on his journey. And so it's kind of exciting. But, you know, maybe people who read it who are being bullied. And, you know, bullying isn't just in schools with young people. There's a lot of adults out there that get bullied every day, and sometimes we forget about them, but they're out there, and they need to know that they're not alone as well.
And you put him in a very interesting situation, because he has a workaholic father, he has a mother who really fears the dogs, and then he's got a new home and a new school. Oh my goodness, wow.
Yes. He's kind of out of sorts. And so I think that makes him a very diverse character. Like, you know, he's not a perfect boy, but, I mean, what boy is perfect? So I didn't want to portray him perfectly. He has a lot of issues, but he's very likable. Everybody loves him, and he wins your heart over. And by the end of the book, he's learned a lot of lessons, and he's come out of his shell. He's become a strong character. And a hero, he saves people's lives. He's, you know, he really does a lot in the book.
And, of course, he attracts the attention of just that special girl.
Oh, yes, the girl. There always has to be a girl, doesn't there? and that's life, right? I mean, at that age, young teenagers, they're into, you know, discovering these relationships, coming of age, and Doug's kind of floundering with that, but this girl is trying to push him along, and and she succeeds in some ways, but, you know, he's still floundering a little bit by the end of the book, but he will find his feet there too, I'm sure, like most young boys will.
Of course, we do have this beautiful wintry scene, and in the process of having winter all around us, we can get into trouble because the winter, people get lost. There's blinding snowstorms, and you know, and that's all part of the plot.
Yes, yes. Winter is obviously very unpredictable, and they have this wonderful weekend planned away that they're going dog sledding out into the wild. And of course, the storm has to come. It was, you know, not forecasted, but it came, and people get lost in the storm, and actually, there is a mystery that's going along, threading through the whole thing, and it comes to fulfillment out there in the wild as well, and Doug gets to save his best friend's life, and, you know, it's kind of exciting, but it's very cold. And, you know, I've tried to teach a few things, like, you know, a lot of people don't know about dog sledding, you know, all of the little intricacies about it, or they don't know a lot about wilderness survival. But I never ever wanted to write, like, a nonfiction book about it. So I tried to sort of incorporate some of the knowledge in there, but in a fictional way. And so it kind of just runs along with the plot. So you learn a little bit, too.
Well, that's great. Dreams with Feet is basically a celebration of dreams. Of course, you know, if we're going to dream, we got to step out of our comfort zone, as Marlene's already mentioned, and then we got to trust the process of walking through the dream. So this book kind of incorporates the whole journey.
Yes, yes, for sure. And it is a process, and we need to trust it. And no matter all of the obstacles that come against Doug in the story, he somehow comes out of it learning that, you know, God can change people. Like, you know, even though that person was, you know, a bully and not a very nice person to be with at all, God knows what's inside that person, and he can bring out the best in them. And Doug watches some transformations in people's lives, including his own. So that's kind of an exciting miracle that takes place as far as growing in his faith that people can change. There is hope for people, whether you're being bullied or whether you are the bully. There is hope for you, and Doug learns that and grows in it.
It may seem like a book just for teenagers, but you're finding out that adults are loving it too.
Yes, actually, a large percentage of my readers so far has been adults. Everybody seems to find themselves in there, and I think it's because I've included all of the generations in there. Like, we have Doug and his friends, we have his parents, their parents, we have an older couple that Doug befriends. And so no matter who reads it, they seem to be able to put themselves in there somewhere and enjoy the whole thing. I've also got a lot of feedback from families that are using the book as a family read. I'm so glad that people still do that. You know, they sit around it in the evening and read together as a family. And they're finding that it's bringing out some issues. Like, you know, when they read the section about the bullying, they can actually talk to their kids about that. You know, do you have a problem with that at school? Or, you know, so it opens doors to get some feedback. And so they, you know, those people were really excited about it. So, you know, I see such a diverse diversity of people that are enjoying the book. So, you know, young people, young at heart, this is what I'm calling it. It's a book for the young at heart.
Very well put. Dreams with Feet, that is the title. Marlene Beerworth, she is the author. And Marlene, tell us how to get your book.
Well, you can get it directly from Westville Press, or you can get it online at any bookstore, Amazon or Chapters, Indigo. All of them, they all have it as an e-reader, soft cover, hard cover. You can get it in any format. The traditional bookstores, you can get it through them as well. It's just out there everywhere.
Well, thank you so much for being with us on Indie Book Publishing.
Thank you for having me.
And this interview has been brought to everyone by Westbow Press.
You've been listening to Indie Book Publishing with your host, Steve Jorgensen. Join us again next week at noon Eastern as Steve interviews another great author.